Business Hour with Oliver Feng on OFM.
Now, if you are a student accommodation owner in Bloemfontein, the public participation hearings on land use bylaws and schemes have been cancelled. So on the show this evening, we're rejoined by Yolinda Lewitz, chairperson of the Multi-Let Owners Association. She's also a realtor, and she's weighing in on this key development and the proposed changes to these bylaws. Here's my conversation with her. And we're so fortunate to be speaking to you about some interesting developments that are happening in the Mangaung Metropolitan Municipality, especially for homeowners, but student accommodation owners as well in particular. For listeners who aren't aware, Yolinda, could you briefly explain what the Municipal Land Use Planning Bylaw, the Student Accommodation Bylaw, and the Mangaung Land Use Scheme are, sort of an overview of them, and how they guide development in the metro?
Now, please bear in mind that I am not a town planner,
sure.
So this will just be brief and summarized, but it's good that you can understand this because it does have a direct impact in our business. All right, so the Municipal Land Use Planning Bylaw literally just sets up how land is use applications are processed, how zones can be changed, and how decisions are made in the municipality. Right, so that's that one in a nutshell. Then your student accommodation bylaw obviously is specifically there to regulate student accommodation. They also manage the different accommodation property types that you have, your minimum norms and standards, and the applications that deal with that specifically. All right. Then your land use scheme provides the zoning map and rules of use, which land uses are permitted in which zones, what type of building or the increase in density that is allowed, and that obviously also includes your student housing. So the three of them actually tie in very well together. So just to summarize that, your land use planning bylaw gives the processes and the authority. Your land use scheme gives the literal what can you do there, and then your student accommodation just provides the additional rules for the student accommodation sector.
Thank you for that overview. I think it's quite well summarized and gives us a better understanding. Okay, but there have been some changes or updates in relation to these bylaws. What are they?
Okay, the updates that we are looking at now, to give you the nice and you know, sugar-coated version, it is the changes to these three bylaws are literally there just so that the different rules align better, so that they basically talk to each other. All right. It also includes making application processes clearer to clarify when consent use versus rezoning is needed for student accommodation specifically. It also is adjusting standards to match the demand in infrastructure and obviously improving enforcement of it. Okay, but now that's the sugar-coated version. When we come down to ground level and what the implications to homeowners that provide student accommodation, your biggest issue that we currently have is it is changing from the previous bylaw where it permitted 20 students per F, it is now halved to 10 students per stand. So that has a dramatic effect on student accommodation providers.
Oh my goodness. I mean, obviously, it means that they're not able to make as much money as they would have originally.
Exactly. And obviously, it's not just about the money that they will be making, but your expenses stay exactly the same because
yeah.
You have your bond to cover, you've got rates and taxes, service providers that you need to pay. But now, all of a sudden, your income is halved. So it's got such a big impact because it will have dramatic effect on the upkeep of your property because the owners won't have money to do maintenance on their properties. Making sure there's garden services. Most of the student accommodation providers have their own refuse removal. So all of that will fall away because you still need to provide services to your students, but you won't be able to make ends meet. So it will have a dramatic effect going forward.
Are there any additional challenges or gaps that have been identified since the adoption of the student accommodation bylaw in 2021?
I think the biggest gap in the structure, and that is why it is revised on a continual basis. But the biggest issue that most have picked up is that there are quite a lot of non-compliance. There's overcrowding in houses. People are converting the existing properties without proper infrastructure. So we know that there is a huge gap in the market, but the standard set and the enforcement of it is where our biggest challenge lies. So if the changes to the bylaw is adapted, will it have an impact in the overcrowding of our neighborhoods? Because how will it be enforced? How will it be regulated? Our current bylaw is just as strict. It's just allowing for 20 students per stand. So the current issue is not the houses where there's 20 students. Our current problem is in houses where there is 40, 50, 60, 70 students. And I know that it sounds ridiculous because I can't believe that anybody would allow it, but I promise you these properties exist. And you can imagine the strain that these properties put on the infrastructure. So the issue is not halving the number of students per stand according to the bylaw. Our issue now is actually regulating existing student accommodation providers.
The Business Hour on OFM.
Like you said, the issue is not halving the number of students per stand. The issue is regulating the existing providers. Previously, we spoke to you about how there's difficulty in converting ordinary houses into compliant student accommodation. And there was a lot of talking about consent use applications and rezoning that we had and the backlog at the municipality. Is the municipality addressing those concerns? Certainly in this review.
Well, here's the thing that we are dealing with. From the start of a consent use application, now I'm speaking from the point of view of a homeowner. So as a homeowner, I approach my town planner and we get the process started of applying for consent use for student accommodation. From that starting point until the municipality is actually aware of my application, a lot of things takes place in the middle of that process. And especially there is where the backlog lies, because it needs to go through so many different portals. It needs to go through infrastructure, through Centlink. There's so many stops that and boxes that needs to be ticked before Mongahoom is even aware of my application. And that's where the issue lies. So Mongahoom will turn around and say, there's no backlog, there's no issues, they don't know what the problem is, it's the homeowners that's not actually working according to plan. But the gap between start of application until the actual going through to Mongahoom to get out the inspectors, etc., is, Olibukheng, I don't want to lie to you, it can sometimes be anything from a year to 5 years. So there is a huge issue there. The municipality, really, they are trying to address these issues. They are looking into where the backlog is, where we can address it, how we can address it, and we appreciate that. But there still is a big issue to homeowners to address that shortfall. And then obviously part and parcel of that is it opens up the opportunity for non-qualified town planners to come in and sort of, we'll look into this and we'll get it easier and we can do it quicker for you and whatever. So they've got a lot of shortcuts that they sort of imply that they'll be able to get the consent use faster. And then obviously, at the end of the day, we know it just costs the homeowner twice the amount. And it's obviously done not according to the standards that should apply to everybody. And there will always be that, where people try and make a quick buck, if we can put it that way. And then obviously, the homeowner is at the shortest end of it.
I want to ask you a question that is not in our prep questions, and I don't know if it's an unfair question to pose.
I will try my best.
So, I think anyone who's driven around the Aboretum area has observed the conversions of some of those older apartments into student accommodation as you go up to Naval Hill. Would you argue that all of this bureaucracy and red tape hampers the smaller players but it does enable the bigger players to thrive because those buildings have seemingly been renovated quite quickly.
Now you are literally putting a bullseye on my back, but I do love you for it, and we're not going to pull punches. We're going to put it out there so that we can deal with that. That is literally, for me, it's my personal opinion. So please just keep that in mind. It is my personal opinion. Sure. We attended several conferences from the municipality where they urged normal investors, student accommodation providers as well. We were invited to sort of uplift the CBD area. So they want to use abandoned buildings. Obviously, it will have a major impact in the security and just, you know, the look and feel of the place as well if it is uplifted. But now the issue comes in with that infrastructure in CBD will also not be able to handle the loads of students that will eventually have to move to City Deep. The students are also not very fond of the idea because they say it takes away their freedom of choice with the decision on where do I stay. It takes away their security. It has a limitation on their transport options. Even if shuttle services are provided, it is provided only on certain time frames, certain schedules. So it really restricts the movements of the students. And then obviously, just once again, security is a major concern. So we've picked up that because with your flats and townhouses, you don't need to apply for consent use. Yes. With the municipality. So obviously, there's not a limit in red tape. There's no red tape, if we can put it bluntly. And yes, personally, I feel that there is a definite link between that and the changes to the drafted bylaw. How we can work around that is still open for interpretation, but it does have a direct impact in smaller businesses. The other thing that we also need to keep in mind is it will also have an impact with your small businesses that is based within the areas where student accommodation currently is. So your big brands like Checkers that just opened up in Paul Kruger Avenue, your smaller shops that provide food and supermarkets, all of that, it's going to have a major impact because now all of a sudden their buying power is cut in half. How much of an impact will that have in the jobs, the unemployment rate that we will have? Mm. You will have an impact in domestic workers because if your accommodation is cut in half, then I won't be able to afford a domestic worker twice a week. I can only afford one once a week. So it's got such a ripple effect, and that's where nobody sits to realize what is the bigger picture of the changes to the draft bylaw.
Thank you so much to you, Linda Lutz. She's the chairperson of the Multi-Let Owners Association. We've reached out to the Mangaung Metro communications team for commentary. We have yet to receive feedback. We've also reached out to other homeowners associations, and those conversations will be coming in the coming weeks on the Business Hour.